The following recording is a presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Rohnert Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome your visit to our services anytime here in the Rohnert Park area.
Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. You can read that later. Habakkuk is a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk concerning the judgments of the Lord upon the nations during the end times, and much of the suffering that will be endured is also going to be endured by God's chosen people. They will also suffer along with the unsaved people at that time. And there will be much remorse and much grief. But let's pick up the reading at verse number 16. We read here, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." You see there, you see in verse 17, the suffering described by Habakkuk, the lack of so many things that will trouble the people. But look at verse 18. He states, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your justice. Thank you for your judgment. And Lord, although sometimes your justice and your judgment, when meted out, falls upon your own children, yet we know that you never forsake us. We know that you never abandon us. And in the midst of trouble and in the midst of turmoil, we know that we can rejoice in the Lord. Thank you for all that are here this morning. Strengthen us during this time of distress and this time of grief in our hearts. Teach us today, Lord, that you care and you are concerned for us. Thank you for this time we have now. We pray that all that we say and do would glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I am speaking to people who are hurting. I'm sure all of us in this room that know Pam and know Pastor are deeply troubled, deeply hurting today for the anguish that the two of them are facing. Thursday afternoon, as I drove home from work, I received a text message. And I generally don't answer text messages while I'm driving. I want you to know that. I obey California's laws as I drive. But this text was very, very curious because it came from someone who had never texted me before. It was from Jason. I said, I got to see this. So I pulled over and I looked at the text, and it was from Jason. And this is what the text read. "This is Jason. Pastor is in hospital. and has asked if you could take the 11 a.m. service on Sunday. I was stunned. I was completely stunned. Pastor's in the hospital? Did those hamburgers finally catch up with him? I mean, so I texted him back. I said, of course, but what is wrong with him? And he responded back that Pam had fallen and was in critical condition. When I learned it was Pam, my emotions quickly turned to deep sorrow. Pam has gone through so much over the past several years, and it's so distressing to me as a good friend of hers to watch her go through all these things. And I feel helpless because there really isn't anything I can do to help her. And I'm sure many of you feel that same way. To look at someone that you love so much, who needs so much, yet there is nothing you can do. It's a frustrating experience, isn't it? I went through the same thing 32 years ago when my son was born with a heart defect. And there was literally nothing I could do. I felt so helpless and so lost at times. Times such as these serve to rob from us our zeal for God. They take all of our strength. They sap us of our energy. They rob from us our joy. Yet our Savior promised us peace, even in the face of great trials. He promised us a peace that goes beyond human understanding, a peace that cannot be taken away. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, we read, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the knowledge of this promise from the Savior will allow us to live with true joy in His presence. Now, that's not to say that we feel no sorrow. That's not to say we aren't troubled in our hearts for the one we love. But even in that turmoil, we have a certainty. We have a strength. We have a resolve. And speaking with Pastor yesterday, I asked him, "How are you holding up?" And he told me, he said, "This is very hard to watch." And I said, "I know it is, my brother. But do not forget that Jesus Christ is watching over her with you. And His will be done." You know, often when I pray, and I'm not trying to exalt my prayer, but often when I pray, "Father, give me the strength to accept your will." We often pray and we want God to change His will to suit us. But do you know that's not going to happen? God is not going to change His will to satisfy you. So we need to learn to accept the will of God and be strong in that will. Turn with me, if you would. Let's all turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, we can rejoice. And we can live with great hope and with peace and with joy. We can rejoice because of Jesus Christ. So today, despite the deep sorrow we carry in our hearts, we can rejoice. But someone here may say, but I'm facing problems. I'm facing great troubles. What can I do? Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Some may say, well, I'm ill, I'm sick, I'm not sure what's wrong. Or in the case of Brother Victor, I'm near the end of my time, my pilgrimage on this earth. What can I do? Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Some may say, I'm having family troubles, wayward children, or my marriage is in shambles. I'm having difficulties. I face all these trials and troubles constantly. My finances aren't good. I don't know what's going to happen. My job is in jeopardy. How do I continue? How do I go forth every day and live with joy? Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Listen, my dear friends, just remember the old saying, behind every dark cloud, there is a silver lining. In Psalm chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist writes, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made me my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We worry about far too many things. things. You know that? Now be honest with me. How many of you have ever found yourself worrying and being troubled over things? Any of you? Sure. But you know, most of the things we worry about never happen. Did you ever notice that? Probably 99.9% of the things you fret and worry about never happen. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his people or molding a man, give thanks in the Lord, though his testing seem long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Often in times of trouble, I say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. But you do. I don't know where this path will lead me. But you know. And you've prepared the way. We just need to remember. We need to remember that we don't need to worry and we don't need to be fearful. Now, we should be diligent, and we should strive to do the best we can. But do you understand that God is in control? That he doesn't need our help? What should we do when worry or fear creeps into our lives? Well, this is what I do. I don't know what you do. But I ask myself a simple question. Can I do anything about this? When I get to worrying about something, I ask myself, can I do anything about this? And if the answer is yes, then I will do what I can do. But if the answer is no, then I stop worrying about it. Because there's nothing I can do. Do you understand that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, we all know these verses. Wouldn't really have to turn to them to recognize them. But let's just look at them. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll begin reading at verse 27. We read here, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you make yourself grow 18 inches? That's, by the way, that's what a cubit is. Jesus said, can you sit there and take thought about it and make yourself grow? No, you can't. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This is the admonition of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we don't need to worry and fret over the things that God has already promised to give us. Now, we do need to labor. We shouldn't be lazy. We need to get out there and work hard and be diligent and be faithful. But if we're doing all that we can do, then we need to trust and believe that our Father will provide the things we need. Now, this brings me then to the crux of my message today. Have you ever noticed how many people there are that focus on the glass being half empty instead of rejoicing that the glass is half full? Today I want to be an encouragement. I want to remind us of some things that we have to be thankful for and that we have to rejoice. And I want to admonish us today to put away our sorrow, put away our fear, and live in the victory of God's grace. Live with God's joy. So let me give you some thoughts, and I'll be brief. Number one, rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in God's election. We read a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon on election today. All of us here understand and embrace this doctrine of the election of the saints. But how often we become forgetful. In the midst of trials and troubles, sometimes we just seem to forget about this great truth. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 17 through 20, we read, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not." Do you see that? Jesus said, I gave you all this great power. I gave you all this great advantage. But that's not what you should rejoice in. In this, he said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Can trouble take away your election of God? Can trials erase your name out of God's book? Then what of it? We begin to live our life in defeat because of trials and troubles, yet we're still the elect of God, are we not? And in that we can rejoice. I can rejoice in the fact that the worst thing this earth, this world can do to me is take my mortal life, which is worthless to me anyway. Because I can't keep it. I can't keep my mortal life. I'm going to have to give it up to have my eternal life. So there's nothing to be sorrowful about, and there's nothing to be worried about. You see, the disciples were rejoicing and what they were able to do, but Jesus reminded them to rejoice in who and what they were, the elect children of the Lord. If our joy comes from temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow, things like jobs or health or wealth or peace, then our joy will be temporal, for it will also go away. But if our joy is in the fact that we are the elect of God, then our joy will never go away because we will always be the elect of God. So today, despite what is happening around us, regardless of what problems we face, despite the heartaches and the heartbreaks of life, rejoice in God's election. Then number two, rejoice in God's salvation. Now some may say, well, now wait a minute, election and salvation, they're the same thing. No, they're not. They're different. They're both part of the same grace of God, but they are different. I can rejoice in the election of God. I can rejoice in the fact that there are people who are God's children. I can rejoice in that. One of them is me. But I can also rejoice separately in my salvation. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Have you ever become so engrossed in what's happening around you that you seem, even if just for a moment, to forget about your salvation? I have. Even if just for a moment, sometimes I have to shake myself and say, wait a minute. I'm God's child. I'm going to heaven. What does this matter? We get too wrapped up in things of this world. And we forget. We forget about the fact that we are a child of God. We get so concerned with the things around us. Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here the psalmist says, I had forgotten and I had just about fallen, and I looked at the wicked and saw their prosperity and saw their seeming joy, and I became jealous and I became envious. And then in the same chapter, verses 16 and 17, he writes, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And then in verses 22 through 26, he writes, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, the psalmist was reminded of the fact that he was a child of God. And suddenly all the troubles and problems around him became unimportant and unimpactful in his life. You see, when you have the realization that heaven is your eternal home, and when you realize that nothing can take this from you, suddenly all of the problems and concerns we have in life will fade in comparison. Romans chapter 8, we read, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, the trials and troubles we face in this life cannot even begin to compare to the glory that we will find in heaven. Think about this. When was the last time you knelt down before God and sincerely and genuinely thanked him for your salvation? Oh, I mean, we give it lip service. We'll come to him and say, oh, dear God, thank you for my salvation. I so greatly appreciate it. Now, Lord, my car is having some trouble. You think maybe you could give me a new car? You know God knows what's in your heart. Do you know that? And he knows if you are genuinely thankful or not. Sincerely thankful. And when this life hands you a problem that brings you to your knees, you will then learn to appreciate God. Until then, unfortunately for most people, it's just lip service. Oh, we throw them a bone every now and then, but to earnestly express our thanks for the great gift of eternal life. You know, our love and appreciation is far better shown by our actions than by words. I could tell my wife I love her every day, but if I never show her I love her, those words are hollow. They're meaningless. Right? And you wives, can you attest to that? That just because he says he loves you doesn't show it, doesn't really prove anything? Wise up, guys. Wise up. And by the way, the reverse is true too. Wives, you can show your husband how much you love him. And that's far better. You know, my wife doesn't have to tell me she loves me when she does things for me. I know she loves me. And I don't have to necessarily tell her I love her when I do things for her. She knows I love her. And God knows you, and he knows your heart, and he knows whether you really love him or not. Don't forget that. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in God's salvation. Then number three, rejoice in God's blessing. Joel chapter 2, we read, "But be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." I love this passage of scripture. I love it because it so clearly states God's blessings upon his children. Even though we do not deserve even one of them, God has showered us with his blessings. Just stop for a moment and think of how much we are blessed today. Just stop and think about it. And if you stop and take inventory of your life, you will see that God's hand constantly moves to provide for us all the things we need. And don't ever make the mistake of thinking you have what you have because of your own talent or own ability. You have what you have because God has given it to you. Plain and simple. Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. Paul didn't say in every good thing give thanks. In everything give thanks. In the good things and in what we call the bad things. You know, sometimes I find myself thanking God for not giving me what I want. Yeah, sometimes I say, "Lord, thank you that you didn't give me those things that I wanted, because they weren't good for me. And you knew that, and you didn't grant them to me. You didn't give them to me." You know, God protects you from your own stupidity. You ever raise children and they come up to you and they want something and you say, no, no, no. But Dad, no. But I really need it. No. But it's so cheap. No. Yeah. I had a philosophy. When my children came to me and said, Dad, could I? I always said, no. But you didn't even hear. I don't care. No. Now, what do you want? I gave him a chance to talk me into it, you see. But right off the bat, it was no, so I didn't have to backtrack on what I promised him. God blesses us so greatly, we don't even realize it. Someone one time had a windfall, had some money come in they weren't expecting, and they told me, they said, oh, God is so good. I said, let me tell you something. God was good before you got that. God is always, always good. God is never not good. He's always just. He's always righteous. And if he punishes, God doesn't punish me. But if bad things happen to me, it's because I deserve them. And God said he needs that, and I'll let him have it. God, you and I can rejoice in the fact that God always looks to our needs and he always does what's best for us. And that's why even something seemingly as tragic as what we're dealing with right now, in that thing we may not see it good, but God does. Because he views good in a different way than we do. We just need to trust him. And know that he is doing what is best for everyone involved. It's like the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. And we can't see what God is doing. We don't know what God is doing. And we don't need to know what God is doing. We just need to learn to rejoice in God and trust him. And be faithful. Rejoice in God's election, in God's salvation, in God's blessing. Then number four, rejoice in God's providence. Rejoice in God's providence. Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. I could preach an entire series of lessons on any one of these points that I've given you today. But that being said, I only want to emphasize one thing concerning God's providence. Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What greater comfort can anyone hope to have than to know that the Creator God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we can face our problems with the knowledge that God will always be with us. And we know that God will always provide for us as he has promised. Psalm 37, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Do you need something today to give you joy? Do you have to have some possession or something to be able to rejoice? Rejoice in God's election. Rejoice in His salvation. Rejoice in His blessings. Rejoice in His providence. I could keep going on forever. Some of you think maybe I will. But time is running out on me, and I have one last observation I want to make. One last thing that in which we can rejoice. And that is number 5. Rejoice in God's victory. John chapter 16. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It was a quiet morning in the streets of Jerusalem. Everyone has gathered into the courtyard of Pilate, the Roman governor in Judea. A man, no more than a man, but a man, a prophet stood before him. He has heard the accusations against this man, and he has concluded that for jealousy this man has been brought before him. He finds no fault, no reason for judgment in this man. However, he desires to appease the mob and quell an uprising. Therefore, he delivers him over to them to be crucified. Jesus is marched along the streets of Jerusalem unto a hillside outside the city. There, he is brutally murdered. He is dead, and he is then entombed. All the minions of hell and the devil himself is ecstatic because they have succeeded in killing the Son of God. Or have they? Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And you and I have nothing to fear. Nothing. We need not succumb to worry or despair. Why? Because Romans 8:37 is in the Bible and says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to Pam. I don't know. I pray that God lifts her. I pray that he heals her. I pray that it's the will of God that she can recover from this, and her and Pastor can come home and continue to live their life as they are. That's what I pray, but I don't know. I don't know. But God knows. And He has a plan in all of this. And He has a will in all of this. And though we may not understand that plan, and though we may not understand that will, I can still rejoice today. I can rejoice in the Lord, for He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that we take. And when we are tried and purified, we shall come forth as gold. I can rejoice in the Lord today because God has won the victory over sin and death. They have no power over me. I'm not trusting in my ability to overcome today. I am trusting in the victory gained by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm empowered to walk as a believer because God won the victory over death and the grave. So as I hope you've seen today, we have much to rejoice in. We've been given the peace of God. We've been given a joy that does not fade away. We can rejoice today. So as we leave this place, let us go forth in victory. Not with grief, not in despair, not feeling defeated or not feeling abandoned, but in great victory as children of God in His mighty hand. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us at all times. And when our time comes to depart this earth, He will be there to receive us into His arms with love and with all the blessings we hope for. So today, what are we going to do? Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Say it with me. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, for He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. And when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come to You today with heavy hearts. We love our sister Pam. And Lord, we know that she has suffered a lot. And we just wish we could take all of that suffering and pain away. And we don't know why these things happen, and we don't know why God's children go through these things, but Lord, You do. And that's all we need to know, is that this is in Your plan. It's in Your will. So what we ask for today, Lord, as Your children, we ask You to give us the strength and to help us understand that Your will shall be done. And even in the midst of these troubles, Lord, help us to rejoice. Remind us of the things that we have to be thankful for and that we can rejoice in. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and glory and all the honor, for the blessings are Yours to give. So thank You for this time we've had around Your word. I pray this message would have been a comfort to the hearts of Your people. And I pray, Lord, that we would just worship and praise You in this moment. Thank You for these things now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Berean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Rohnert Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us on the World Wide Web at www.bebaptist.org.